All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Ideas Sin. My name is Denise, and today I have a wonderful guest with me. His name is Lee. Now, Lee and I actually met in a podcasting class at the Austin Film School. So, Lee, what got you into podcasting?
First, I would just want to say thanks for having me
on. Oh, yeah.
So, to the intro. So stoked that you set all your stuff up and that you're doing this. I remember hearing about your podcast when we took that class together, and it's just like so cool that it's coming together. So yay you, and also just thanks for having me here. Podcasting in general, how the heck did I wind up in that class? I've never taken any other classes at school of film or anything like that. I've never really thought about making a podcast except for like that one phase that everybody goes through with their friends where you're like, we should be recording this, man. yeah. But so that came and went. But yeah, audio storytelling. I really liked the way that class was sort of pitched as like giving you the tools to figure out like what is your idea, what's the scope, and what are the ways that you can like grapple with it. That just seemed like something that I was like curious about. I also started getting this idea about a podcast of my own like a couple months before that. And I was like, oh, boom, I could figure out how to plug my idea into this and then like see where it goes. And yeah, that was just like really exciting. But that's like how I walked on set there, basically. And I met you there.
Yeah, I know. And clearly I'm still figuring out the kinks of how to do the podcast and how to run it fluidly. Like I totally just skipped the intro, which was like, all right, Lee, let's get straight to business. Yeah. I mean, it's been, the class was just really cool to see where people went. And what I really appreciated was that a few of us were able to connect and stay connected after the fact. Yeah. I mean, we had like group lunches or dinners like over the summer, which was really nice. And we got to see where everybody was at.
But I thought that was so cool too. So sweet that like people actually want to stay in touch after a class, because sometimes people just kind of fade away, and that's okay too. But it was really neat. I was like, oh, cool. These are like my podcast buddies, which is just like cool. I don't have those.
I know, right? And so, I mean, both of us, I think we each had a chance to be on Jen's podcast. And So Jen is another person who I plan to have at a later time. And she has a podcast already running. And so I'll share that with the listeners at another time when she pops up. But it was really cool to just have that first glimpse of what it's like to be on a podcast. I mean, for you, what was your experience like doing that for the first time, being a guest on a podcast?
Yeah. So podcast we're talking about is What Are You Listening To with Jen Tolley. And I just love Jen because like she's so cool. Yeah. When she was like, oh yeah, I already run a podcast, and it's all about just like what people are listening to. It's like a build your own playlist with other people and listen to other people's playlists and hear them talk about the songs and everything. Like I was like, dude, yes. Like I listen to music pretty much all the time. And until recently, I guess I didn't really understand how like important emotional wise and like memory wise and story wise like music has been for me. It's like kind of breadcrumbs for me and everything. So it was cool to just have the opportunity to like, here's a platform to just like go nuts. Like, what's the song that you want to share with your friend, or like what are you listening to this week or whatever? It could just be low stakes, you know. But it was cool because I showed up on there, and like you think that you're like, oh my God, I've been saving songs for like as long as I've been alive, which is 29 years. I've been saving lives, like, yeah, 29 years of songs. What am I going to give to this person? And I just kind of like went with what I was actually listening to that week instead, where I just kind of like, yeah, this is just stuff that like, it was stuff that I had been listening to. So I was like, this tracks, I'm just going to like no stakes. It's just Japanese music, and like I don't understand any of it, but I love it. And I was like, what business do I have even like listening to the music? And I was like, it's just music. Like everybody can listen to whatever music. So yeah, I guess like a little bit of self-doubt there, but like it was cool because like I just went for it, and that was a really cool conversation. Jen has awesome questions, and then also the songs that she brought were just so different but somehow connected thematically. It was neat. Yeah. What did you end up bringing to that?
podcast. I brought two songs. One was by Mark Anthony and another one was Druv. Still don't really know how to pronounce his name. And Mark Anthony's song was primarily about love. And then I gave my interpretation about how when you initially hear that song, you think, oh, he's just talking about one particular person. And my perception of it was that love is, it's like, it's multifaceted. There's so many layers to it. And that there are deeper forms of love that you eventually grow into. And you evolve into that with either yourself, with your, you know, like your creator, or yeah, or with another person. But that was my interpretation of that song. It really resonates with my heart. And then the other one was with Druvy. It was Grateful, and it was just talking about like his challenges in life and how he's kind of going through the motions, but regardless of what he's going through, he's very grateful for, you know, the life that he has and all of that. And that's where I was kind of at in that moment when I wanted to share that song. It hit me and I was like, yeah, that's where I'm at. Even though I'm like going through these things and on this spiritual journey and not knowing what I'm doing or where I'm going, I'm still grateful for it. You know, I'm still alive. Wow. I'm here. Like, so lots to be grateful for in this life.
Yeah, I should just listen to that freaking episode. Because I can't believe I haven't sought that out. And because I know that you were there. I didn't put that together.
Well, so yeah, I got to look for yours, that's too. So good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go for it. You'll dig it. It's funky music. And cool conversation, too. It was, just opening up a lot of just different drawers, you know, and examining different things. Great stuff. So how did you find your way to the podcast class yourself?
So I had, it's going to sound kind of cheesy, but so I journal a lot and I'm always in a mode of self-exploration and self-discovery. And just one day I kind of had like this vision come to me and say like, oh man, like I can do this and talk about that. And that's how it's going to link to a few other things that I haven't really dived into yet. I think it's just like a ladder. But podcasting, for whatever reason, just stuck out for me because I find that I'm very good at connecting with people one-on-one. And I've met so many different people who have all inspired me in some type of way. And I think that it's so important for stories to be shared and for people to tell others what it is that inspired them to move in a certain direction, just so we can kind of get folks out of that stagnant state that they're in of being like, oh, I'm scared of trying this, or I don't know if I'm going to be good enough to do that, and blah, 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 because I've been in those positions. Yeah. And I know that there are others that are like that.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. That's just like resonated so much. I started speaking before I realized I was talking. it's just like, I so feel that. And like, just for the people and you know, ourselves that are still in that, the different parts of ourselves that are still there and stuff, it takes so much energy, like being in that worry state. It's exhausting because you're exerting a lot of effort to like not stay there necessarily. Sometimes there are payoffs for that, but like just to like maintain or like remain sort of buoyant. And like, just to say, like, it is hard, but like doing this stuff is actually easier than resisting doing this stuff. Or it's so, you know, that's what people say. And that's the idea of it anyways. But generally, it's easier to live your life while you're not resisting the things rather than just kind of being like, hold on, you know, just like digging your heels and being like, I'm not ready for that yet. I'm not ready for that yet. Which totally, totally okay and understandable to do a little U-turn, but it's coming for you eventually. You know what I mean? Like your calling is always coming for you. That is so neat. And that is something like, I have a lot of journals. You can see that stack under the mask over there.
I love that. Yeah.
That is just like this program that I started last year. And same thing. It's just all about like, are mainly focused on journaling a lot. And it's good for creators of all types just to like, you have to write and get your brain drained first. You know what I mean? Like, doesn't matter if you're like sculpting or painting or actually writing or just like making a podcast or something like that. But like, you have to understand like what other voices are going on in your head and like what you know about yourself and what you have insight about. And like, it really takes a lot of evidence for that. So it's good for everybody. Just like start taking evidence, man, start getting data. I felt nuts in my life when I was always being like, man, I should be journaling. It's just all slipping through my fingers. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I felt totally, totally helpless and nuts. Journaling has really helped me too. So super, super cool that this thing came to you through journaling. That's so neat.
Yeah. And I think it's going to benefit a lot of people. I mean, in my journey, I've gone into journaling and I've gone back and looked at certain entries, or I've had certain thoughts and I'm like, man, I wonder what I wrote this time last year. And I would go back, and there have been points where I've seen certain similarities to things. And for example, like last year, I was in this point where I'm like, yeah, I really want to do all these things and da 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 da, but I was stuck. I was like in a stagnant state. And this year I'm realizing like, oh wow, I'm like in a similar state, but this time I'm actually moving forward with the things that I want to do. I'm not sitting there being like, oh, I'm going to hold back and this and that. I'm actually at a point where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. Like this podcast, I'm starting it off, and obviously I'm still figuring things out, but that's part of the process, is to learn. And for folks who have kind of a perfectionist mentality, or they put a certain standard up to try to reach the first time they're doing something, that's going to really give us like a halt in the process. And with perfectionists, it's like, you cannot expect to perform at an expert level if you have not put in the same time as that expert. You know, you just got to go in and learn about the mistakes and be like, oh, okay, yeah, I learned this and I learned that. And, you know, with this podcast, I'm definitely going to be going through a lot of different, yeah, like ups and downs, and figuring out, how do I want to structure it? How do I best want to communicate with people? And so, I mean, even interviewing folks, or I don't want to say interviewing, but just having a better flow of conversation and bringing things around to people. But I mean, for you, you've gotten into journaling, and you've also had this really cool project about like mask making. Now, would you say that also kind of stemmed through your journey of like self-exploration, or what got you into that? Because that's really cool.
Oh, thanks. I have 1,000 questions for you about your journaling stuff. We will get there.
Yeah, we'll get there another time. This is masking. We're focusing on you today.
Yeah, cool, cool. mask making and stuff. That's a weird one for me, because it's one of those things that I have always known about, but I've done very little to deal with, you know, which is kind of like, oh, I have a story that I've been meaning to write for years. Oh, I've been blah, blah, blah. You know, mask making for me, it's not like an idea. It's not like a script. It's not like a song. It's like a face, you know, it's like a person. It's like an emotion that just kind of like remains there. It just is, and it just holds it, and it's there. That kind of space kept on intercepting me like through my life constantly. I see faces a lot of places. I take a lot of walks in the woods, and I like to like look at things, and I imagine very much just like not becoming the woods, but like personalizing the woods, you know what I mean? Like not decorating, but more like giving a person to the woods. So I see a stump and I'm like, imagine if that was just like somebody's face, you know what I mean? Like I guess it was just a whole bunch of moments like that that I really didn't know what to do with, that happened like all through my adolescence into my like adulthood and shit, and like seeing faces being like, I don't fucking know, dude, I'm either crazy or like I've always really, really liked the idea of faces and masks in particular. And masks, like I remember I saw a metal show when I was in high school. It's this black sort of extreme metal band, Behemoth, and they're great. I saw them again recently, so fucking awesome. Anyways, go see live shows. But I just had this moment where like, okay, soul crushingly intensely heavy music is happening, where like it's just, it seems like chaotic monsters are playing on stage, and it sounds great. It's awesome. The energy is spectacular. And then somebody goes backstage and comes back out, and he's wearing this like face. It's like wearing this like weird, intense insect like bronze mask that like makes him into a different thing, you know? And I remember like just being so smacked by that I like, I told everybody that I freaking could about it for weeks, you know what I mean? I was like, apparently his dad makes masks and he just like fucking wears them on stage, you know? And it's like, I was just like, it's so real. It's so intense. It just like feels very spiritual to me in a weird way. And I did everything I could to push that down for so long, I guess. It was just this idea and this anxiety of like, I'm not ready to be a novice. I'm not ready to try anything. I don't even know what to do with this. I still think that I'm insane instead of like having an idea, you know? But yeah, so I stopped doing that. I quit a job after I moved out here. I had a little bit of time where I was like, I'm not going to go run to the next thing. Like I was able to like work through the pandemic pretty hard and I saved some money. I was like, great. I really need to fucking focus and figure out like, what am I here for? And like really get right with myself. You know what I mean? And put me as the first priority for like a while. Cause like I needed a lot of evidence of that to feel right with myself. Alluding to all this weird, like deep dive shit or whatever. So I just like decided to like go for it. I did paper mache strips. I put them directly onto my face and I sat there for like 45 minutes and I was like, this isn't it. Like, this is totally not it. My skin like hurts under the salt. You know, I was like, this is not it. And then I just started like figuring out what to do about it. Finding out ways that I could kind of make masks and explore and experiment. And I've been doing that for a little bit, like a year and a half, almost 2 years now. And my God, what a weird practice it's been. It's something I know nothing about. I don't know why people do it. I know people and humans and cultures, since people have had eyes and faces to see one another, have dreamed of other things and like created masks to transport them, to do big work, to like put on a show, to like just transition, to do something. I don't know. It's just like this one like singular human thing that has been here as long as people have been here. And when it like came to me, I was like, this is something that I really have to stop running away from because it is very human. And I need to understand that I'm a person and like, mm-hmm. I can do that. You know, it's okay to do that. And you just figure it out. So that's just like ever since then. And then we met in the podcast class and I was like making masks for a little while by then. And I was like, dude, I don't know why the hell people do this. I mean, it like, I did it for a very particular reason, but like, I know everybody's story is different. And I'm just like, so curious about like, yeah, but like, when did masks come into your life? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, it was through the pandemic. And like, I totally got that too. Totally got that where you just started showing up in public with an obscured face. And I was like, this is normal. Like this is, it became very normal, but like, this is okay. And also it gave me like access to different things, like good and bad, unfortunately, like access to some anonymity, which was nice, you know, cause like being perceived is pretty hard sometimes, but also like then nobody could stop me from my self-talk because nobody could tell I was self-talking like in public, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
brutal and pretty intense. So like, either way, yeah, big stuff is possible with that. But like, yeah, masks are tools. And for me, it's been opening up a lot about like what I think is allowed to creatively cross-pollinate and exist, basically. And the fact that like it really just has to like just do it and figure it out. And that's like what the work is. And it's messy and you have to build it and shit can break. And like, that's really useful for me. It's not an idea because an idea doesn't break. It just like breaks you or like you lose faith in it or something, you know? But I love this because it's like tangible, you know? But anyway, so yeah. Super, super long-winded answer to what masks are. I still have no idea why, really. I'm still finding the words to explain kind of what brings me to it. But year after year, there are more masks on my walls and like that's a good sign. So I don't really ask any questions anymore.
No, I mean, I think that's great. And as you initially started, you were saying how mask making felt or even seeing faces just felt like almost spiritual. And I started thinking about shamanism and I was like, oh, okay, maybe that could be something that you can explore because it is about, you know, being connected to everything around and realizing that there's life in everything around us. And some of the shamans, they would see, you know, other, like they would see like the faces and other things and they personify them in a different way. So I don't know if that's something you would maybe want to explore there and that could help on your spiritual journey. But I mean, along with that, it also just reminded me of the mask that we all wear on a day-to-day basis. Like whenever we show up to work, we're showing up in this type of persona with this type of mask on. And then when we're with our friends or certain family members or whoever, it's like we're always shuffling these different masks. And for me, it's almost like, should we even be wearing so many masks when in reality, it's like, why not just show who you truly are? And of all of those masks, there are certain traits or characteristics that you can take from that to build into your own authentic self. But, you know, like how do you know how many masks you're wearing and how do you know how to break down those masks over time and whether they are worth breaking down or identifying a mask versus like your authentic self and being like, okay, which one is the real me? Because I think that's another thing folks will get confused in and they'll be like, oh, but I'm like this and this is how I identify and blah, 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 blah. And they're so attached to that identity that removing that mask is terrifying for them. It's like a huge ego break. So I don't know if maybe I was going to ask,
please.
Do you find that, you know, the creation of masks has helped you to identify your own authentic self versus the different masks that, again, we all wear these different masks, but for you, has that helped you break down the mask that you've put on for others?
Yeah. Long and short, yes, in a painful way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I started making the masks when I was kind of like in the thick of, which I am still in the process of doing, a lot of recovery that was super long overdue. And I say it like a robot because it's like, yeah, it's fucking painful. Doing work is really, it's revealing, it's excruciating. But it's the pain that like reminds you that you're alive in a weird, twisted way. You know what I mean? Like you have to kind of experience that kind of stuff in order to know you have tendons, muscles, you have nerves, memories, everything, right? Like, but so I've been doing some childhood trauma recovery group work for a couple of years now. And so that is with the, and sort of like the goal is to just kind of like get back up to like sea level with other people, basically, because the idea is like CPTSD, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, which I have and other folks in my group and many, many people who have families also have, unfortunately. Sorry, it's not funny.
I get it.
I have a spicy relationship with family and that kind of stuff. I have to kind of laugh at it. So I've been doing that, and CPTSD is one of those things that it's complex post-traumatic stress because it develops over time and it develops through reinforced world ideas, which come to you through your family dynamics, the ways that relationships play out, what relationship modeling and attachment modeling there is. It all plays into the way that you think the world is shaped, how much of it you have access to, how much you can see, and how much of it you can feel or deal with at any given time. It's different for everybody. But basically, you stumble out into adulthood and you're walking blind through a minefield. You're getting triggered by current events reminiscent of wounds that happened a long time ago that sometimes you don't even remember happening, because very, very good defense strategy against that is just to bury it like a child might, just pretend it doesn't exist. It's really good as a child, but you turn into an adult and like you still have a lot of like exorcism to do. It's really, really difficult. But yeah, that kind of what you said about like removing masks. Before I started the work, I had an idea that I needed some healing and recovery and then I needed to get right by myself. When I got in there, I realized exactly how much work I had to do, and I still figure that out pretty much every day. But I know that I'm on the path and that's all good stuff. But so it's like to bring it back to the masks and stuff, I've been doing that work and it's been letting me understand, how I experience the world and also how I allow the world to experience me, which is up until now, not very much. I have this idea that like people in the world don't have time or space for me. People don't want to hear from me. And or if I enter somebody's life and try and tell them something that I'm interested in, that's going to be like a problem, you know. Also just other people's, their opinions of me or their emotions around me being an object in the room, you know what I mean? So like there's all this stuff, but it's all this like internalized crap that then you adapt to. Well, how am I going to act in this situation, right? You need to be the perfect person in order to not make anything go bad. So yeah, you have to kind of, you got to wear stilts, you got to put on a costume, you got to put on a mask, you got to do all of this crazy shit. You don't even realize that like, wow, oh my God, I get no time after work. I get home and I'm just like blank and I have nothing. And I just don't, I don't even have time to like figure out or connect with myself, right? It's like, yeah, because you're walking around like some kind of creature. You know what I mean? Like you're doing all this stuff. You're like hiding your face over here and you're ha 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 doing this over here. Like it's crazy. Yeah. But like, no, like we're really contortionists like that. We demand so much from ourselves and we give so little attention to the things that are calling to us. We assume that it's just like, that's an errant thought, not like 15 hours of television on the weekend or whatever, you know what I mean? Just to like cope. Which I sympathize and understand people that need to cope. It is okay to take time for that, but you gotta know like that's a wound and you gotta get closer to the wound. You gotta make something. But so making these masks and everything, I still don't have a lot of ego attachment to any one mask in particular, as this is my blank mask that I removed this aspect of myself from my body or some shit like that. Like nothing like emotionally, spiritually really, really intense, except for like this mask, which is right to my right, which I made in a mask class. It's a sort of like a workshop. That was a spiritual experience. That's a spiritual mask. Yeah. The other one, they're all spiritual masks, whatever. But like, but just to say that like, it's not something that I intentfully kind of go out about and be like, ah, see, and now I'm removing blah, blah, blah. And I'm making faces for stuff. But I mean, like, no, it's, yeah, anything that you see, like it's a real thing. And I have to say, making a plaster cast of my own face for like this mask here, which was the first one that I started making. Let me just remove it from the wall really quickly. Sorry. It's no, just a plaster good. Cast of my own face. Sorry, I put a Band-Aid on the head.
I was going to say, why is it bandaged? Okay.
I just put it on there. It's like a decoration. But yeah, I mean, this is just a cast of my own face. And I mean, like, this thing stares across, like the wall for me all the time. It's like willful ignorance, willful silence. It's just like judgment. It's like, this is your anatomical construct of humanity. You know what I mean? Like, I don't fucking know, but like, it's just a face and it just stays there. For some reason, that is like, that's so much more potent than not doing it. So it works for me. Yeah. It works for me and other people in my life. Thankfully, like one of the great things about having friends is that you get like mirrors to view yourself through. You know what I mean? Like you get to experience yourself and get some feedback and everything and kind of get a better idea of who you really are through your friends. But they gave me feedback being like, that just so tracks for you, dude. Like that just makes so much sense. And I was like, they don't say stuff like that to me all the time. So yeah, it just seemed like something that like I kind of had to put my mind into a little bit. And it's really taken over like a lot of my life for a little while now.
Yeah. I know. And on the spiritual sense, I'm just like, yeah, you're diving into shadow work. Like that's exactly what I've been doing since 2020 as well. I think that was the wake up call for some folks to be like, hey, get your shit together. Like you got to wake up. Real. And a lot of people in the spiritual community, at least the ones that I've encountered and seen, it's like, everybody's like good vibes only and no negative vibes and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I'm sorry to say, but that is wrong. Like you're doing spirituality wrong. The whole point of it is to get into the dark aspects of yourself and to work through those things, to work through the pain, to work through the trauma, to work on like observing who you are away from the ego. It's just like, okay, great. You might have a, so we both actually moved from Boston. And so
I forget that all the time. That is so wild. Okay. Another conversation, another time.
But you know that a lot of the stuff that's happening in Boston, it's like people from Harvard or BU, and they work at, you know, there's tons of big pharma companies, huge hospitals, and a lot of the, and startups. And it's always, at least in my experience, when people would introduce themselves and try talking to, it was always, what's your title? What do you do? And that is all that they really cared about, was what your title was, how much money you were making, what it is that you did. And that is how they viewed you, judged you, and either accepted or rejected you. And that was always so flawed to me, because that job, it's a job. Like, you can remove that, but then who are you as a person? Are you a good person aside from that? Like, what is it that you do? Like, how do you connect to the world and to the community around you and your family and friends? And I've met a lot of people, and I've been through my own things as well too. I'm not going to say that I'm like perfect by any means. I've completely changed. I don't want to say completely, but I've changed a lot of who I was back when I was in Boston. And same thing, come to Austin. I wanted to focus on myself and expand out on who I was as an individual and expand into the parts of myself that I had neglected for years, which was like my creativity and just who I was, because I was always wearing a mask in Boston. As much as I didn't really want to, it's like, no, I still had one on because I was like, I have to have this title. I got to do this work. I got to da 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 da.
Wow.
So, you know, for me, I finally have been able to step away from that, but, it's funny, as you were describing that journey, Masquerade, the song from like the Phantom of the Opera came on. And I love that movie growing up. And I would just listen to it. And it was always just so saddening to see like the Phantom that was always in the sewers. And then he's just like secluding himself from everybody because of how he appeared. And obviously not everybody accepted him because of his deformity. And so he would always wear a mask. And then Christine, she ended up like empathizing with him and seeing what it is that he's been through. And ultimately, you know, the dark side of him kind of took over, and she like moved away from him in a sense, but like she still kind of had a connection to him. But I don't know. It's just like, if we give ourselves a chance, there's always going to be somebody. There's always somebody out there who is going to be able to empathize and connect with you. Like, we're never alone.
Totally.
We're never alone.
I wanted to say, when you started talking about like doing shadow work in general, and like that being ultimately necessary work, which it's not mandatory work, but your life is like, it's quite a bit more full when you do it. You get a little bit of the rest of the scale revealed. Do you know what I mean? The highest highs and the lowest lows, they all kind of expand. That makes, like, to me, everything a little bit more real. But that's just me. But I wanted to say, like, caution, danger. There should be a fucking warning label on that stuff. Do not do this work alone. Don't do it alone. That's something I still am struggling with, is like this reflex to do it on my own. It's really pesky. Everybody wants to not ask for help. Everybody wants to be small, not stir up any of this madness, because life is so complicated. Why would you ever try and stand up in the like, why would you ever try and do that? But like, you really can't do that stuff alone. I think that that's the danger for a lot of people, is when they feel isolated, or when they feel that their isolation is calling to them from an ultimately good or better place. Not to say that the want or the call to isolate or to recover isn't real, but I think you know when it's a little bit different than being like, yeah, I think I just got to have a slow year inside, you know what I mean? Or something like that. Like, that can be so different for different people. But I think ultimately, if your focus is on taking the time to really actually sit with yourself and do it, and then come to other people, tell them about your experience, connect with other people that have experienced similar things, or other people that are in need of some sort of like connection, community, anything like that. Also to see that you are a person who can be in need of connection and community. You can have needs. You can ask people for things. You have to like practice all that stuff, or at least I have to practice all that stuff a lot. Otherwise I forget and I turn into the person who doesn't want to bother anybody. And then my life sucks. and then you just like, you try and get on the upside. Yeah. Like it's, but like, yeah, it's just so important not to do that stuff alone. And it's okay to feel shame. Don't feel shame about feeling shame, because that sucks. That's especially when you need somebody to be like, dude, you're being a little pathetic right now. Come on. You know what I mean? Like, don't you like, it's sorry, that's a little bit harsh, but it's like, if you have a friend where you know that's coming from a place of like, I know who you are. This isn't you. You're not a pile of like tears and sadness on the floor. Come on. You know what I mean? Like, if you got to do that, you can feel that, but you got to want to get up after that, or you have to like have something that you're, that you're bringing out, that you've created from that. Not to say there's an entry fee, but like, generally it's safer to like, okay, why don't you just show me what you mean? You know what I mean? Like, just like, instead of sitting there not doing anything, why don't you just make a really chaotic painting, or just like scream into a microphone and just like record it, you know, like anything. Yeah. If you make something, all the better. Then you could decide what to do with it later, but whatever. But I wanted to get my hand on the ball for Boston for a second too, because I totally get you. I totally understand that. I think one of the things that I heard a lot while I was doing the same stuff as you, I was working in a startup company.
Yeah, because you were in science
company. Too, right? Yep. I have a master's degree in microbiology. I've studied fungi and sort of like fungal genetics and population, sort of that sort of stuff. Did that for a while. I worked in Boston for like biotech startups and that kind of stuff. And then I worked in like a automated COVID lab in the seaport, right? It was like, it was all this stuff. And stuff I kept hearing from people all the way on my way into that very niche kind of position was like, people kept on being like, you're so like enthusiastic. You know what I mean? Like, you're so like, you have a, it's so like you have a will to live, or like you like things, you know, you're interested in things. I had a job up in Boston where things are going good. It's what I thought I wanted to do. I'd be working in like one of those Pfizer labs, right? Get a good education on how to do all the stuff that everybody loves from Pfizer. But like learn how to do all of that, right? The hiring manager called me back and was like, hey, like, everything looks good. I just wanted to call and be like, are you sure you want this job? Like, I'm afraid you might be bored. And I was like, bored? Put on a face. No, blah, blah, blah. Everything's fine. No, I'm not bored. I think this is a really good opportunity. Ha ha. This and that. And they're like, okay, send me the offer. I ultimately like went away because I was like, that's not a good sign. I should probably get out of there. But it was so weird. It's like all the way in, there's all these people saying like, I don't know. They just give me that look. They're like, you're kind of a live one or something like that. Mm-hmm. I hated it. I hated it. It always made me feel like a freaking zoo animal. It always made me feel like some sort of a attraction. Not in a good way. Attention for that kind of stuff, for novelty. Like it just feels slimy and it's not cool. Or at least it didn't feel cool to me at the time. So just like, I get it. But like while I was there, like the things that you hear that start like kind of like, wake up, like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, the people are looking at you because they're like, why are you here? Shouldn't you be like dancing in a park or something like that? Like, you know, like, I don't know. It's just like, it's weird. I'm happy that eventually I was like, oh yeah, damn. Like, I've been trying to push myself into this position for a long time. And I think I need some time to like breathe and stretch my legs. And like, holy shit. Wow. Yeah. Taking some time.
I was going to say, we both lived in Somerville too, I think.
The madness continues with that.
Yeah. And like Somerville is, for me, I really liked it because it really was community focused. There were still like immigrant families that were there and family owned businesses that were there. It was very much focused on community and like more authenticity and being outside and connecting with creativity and just thinking outside the box of the, you know, what's inside of like main Boston, where everything is, again, it has to be very cookie cutter and shiny and sparkly. And you know, like, I'm not going to say Boston was not a great experience for me. I was there for what, like 6 or 7 years. And yeah, I grew a lot. I made some amazing friends and I've been able to experience a lot of different things, but it's just like the culture really didn't play with me. And then like Somerville was a very good place where I can say, oh, wait, no, there is a different way of being. And there are people who care about nature and care about eating well and care about connecting with their neighbors and ensuring that small family businesses are protected and that rent prices don't shoot up 3 times the cost just because they want to bring in, you know, the Green Line, for example. They wanted to bring in the Green Line and then develop more apartment complexes. And I believe like the Somerville council was like, no, there's these stipulations, like you have to have this amount of small businesses in there and this many apartments have to be affordable for blah, blah, blah. Like I appreciated all the stipulations that they were adding in order to ensure that they protected the people in the community that were there.
Yeah. Somerville, like while I was there, was through like the thick of the pandemic, really. And yeah, I have made friends there. Like that's the thing. I was in Boston for about 4 years. And they were like a very, very fast, intense 4 years, where I just like, I started being confronted by a lot of aspects about myself and a lot of aspects about the things that I think about myself and what has to happen with me stuff. You know what I mean? It's just like stuff. Mm-hmm. But I made some friends out there and it's funny cause like they still reach out and that's cool. and they're there. Awesome. It's really easy to be discouraged and be like, there's no soul to humanity here. You know what I mean? Like everybody's just this and that, especially mm-hmm. I was working on the seaport. I was like coming, like brushing shoulders with people that live such different lives than me. And I was like, oh my God, what do I even do with this? But like, there's people, there's community everywhere. It really requires you to like kind of take the time to open up and look and be curious. That kind of curiosity. It's really scary, especially like making friends. That is hard. Like if you didn't learn how to do it right when you were a kid, you'd need some re-education as an adult, I do believe. But I don't think a lot of people understand that. But it's not because people mm-hmm. are bad. It's just because it's hard. And like making connections with people and being curious and open to other forces in your life, that's like the scariest thing I can imagine. It's also the most necessary for people that still have work to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then even finding those communities, it involves connecting with who you are. Just to get that light bulb to click on and be like, oh, no, wait, I actually like that. Like, I feel comfortable with that. Even though it feels scary making that slight transition over to doing something that is not necessarily going to align with what is expected of me, then, you know, that can be really hard. But once you do find those communities, you find that you can really be yourself so yeah. much more. And so I kind of want to transition back into the masks. And I want to say like, hey, we were working on the masks you were working on the masks. I haven't worked on anything yet, but maybe one day you can show 100%. Me how to make a mask. I would be yeah. like sick. So you did that. We're both working on the documentary, mm-hmm. Surf Rock documentary, which is really yeah. exciting. And your primary focus is in mm-hmm. audio. So something I just thought about now is that like you're creating masks, which in a way I perceive it as being kind of visual, but the fact that you're also really into audio and focusing on that is like, oh, now you're focusing on hearing. So it's almost like you're connecting your different senses there. But what got you into wanting to work on audio versus like recording yeah. or I don't know, editing or whatever else that yeah. we're going to be doing for right. this documentary.
Doing live recording and working with sound people and doing all that, like so much yeah. to learn still. But that's a great question. That's an awesome observation. It's so funny. And like, you totally believe me too, but like most of the masks that I make, I imagine them having sounds, or I imagine making music for them or just making little sounds for them. And then others actually having like actual, like, this is a sound that is produced through the mask sort of thing. Or the idea of sound reverberating on the inside of the mask and it being different for the wearer, you know? But so funny, but yeah, unfortunately, it's still like a lot of, well, that, no, it's good. There's going to be a lot of that cross-pollination between those things in whatever way that shakes out in the future, because I still don't really know what my mask projects are like yet, because I'm still scared to start, unfortunately, but I'm starting. But audio and like how'd I get into all of that? I guess first as like a musician, listened to a lot of music, and music was a really big part of stuff, emotional stuff, identity stuff, and energetic stuff for me when I was younger. And connecting a lot of different kinds of music and plugging that into all of these things and memories, like, it's one of the most real reconnective experiences that I have in my life. Those times where, like, you feel like you actually come full circle listening to something that you remember and you forgot something, just like something gets unlocked because you listen to this album that you listened to when you were in high school or something, right? Like, that is like among the most bonkers experiences that I can really comprehend. So it's always just been so like sound and stuff has always been so connected to everything else, like my human experience, really, which isn't putting that very lightly at all. Sorry, this is such an exaggeration, but like, you know what I mean? I mean, that's it feels really big. Sound feels really big to me. I think as people, we've always known that sound is something that really transforms things, people, emotions, events, experiences. So how'd I get into like doing any of the stuff? Like, I played guitar for like, I've been playing guitar for like 15 or 16 years since I was like 13 or so. And I realized really quickly that I'm not one of those people that like, I play guitar and I play all songs by Avenged Sevenfold or something, you know what I mean? Like, I play all songs by blah, blah, blah or whatever. I just immediately started exploring all this stuff. So I did start in like heavy metal and thrash metal, was playing mostly Slayer and that kind of stuff. But then like, I went into like blues and jazz and this other weird fusion stuff. And then I went to like Spanish classical music, and I just like, and then I really like opera and like all this other crap, right? And I'm like, I can't play that, but you can dream about it. But like, just all of that like sound exploration, I guess like recently it's kind of come out more because I started like playing with these things that make sounds. Like, one of my things is like this, it's like a jaw harp. And it's just like, it's just brought me to, can I even open it? It's brought me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'll show you. it is an instrument where it has a couple different names, but I think it's like an Appalachian instrument, or it's been made in a couple different places. But it's just like a little piece of metal that you kind of twang in front of your mouth and then you change the shape of your mouth and it alters the sound, right? Like, you know, it's just like one of those funny little but I just started like I started reaching out because I had this like childlike desire to create sounds that are not music, sounds that are not music quote-unquote music, just play with sounds more. And then I started like, oh, this other stuff, look at here, it's like one of those little toad things. It's like a little toad thing where you like, it's just a sound and I like it, right? So
yeah,
the last like couple of years I've just been like, oh, I'm not a guitar player, I'm just like a sound explorer and I'm a sound enthusiast or something. And like, that's just been so cool to explore. I have been writing a lot of music and realizing that when I create things, I don't look at it and think and realize that it's a legit thing. I don't think that it is time or that there's time for me to actually capture it, because it's not a thing I'm making. I'm just listening to it, or I'm just playing around, or I'm just exploring. I realize that is just hogwash. That's like baloney. everything that you make every time is always real. You know what I mean? Like, it is always real. You just need to be like, remember, right? Record that. So for me, for a long time, I've got this like library of recordings in my phone of just like anytime I'm playing around with sounds or I'm in a spot or I'm playing guitar or whatever, just record it and deal with it later. You know what I mean? I started doing that and committing to the reality that like once I started identifying and developing this like evidence base that I was like, no, dude, I have ideas. I have things that are trying to come through me that I should be here for. You know what I mean? And just like, I guess I have such an affinity now for like letting things actually exist and letting them remain. Ideas and journaling happens like that. Now it's become recording like live shows of like musicians because I don't know. That's a real thing that like unless you record it, it's gone forever. That's just how it is. And like saving these drawings that I do now making masks, like I guess I just have this obsession currently with like I actually want to keep things. I want to know who I am. And in order to know that, I need to start collecting the things that I produce. And it's all over the place. It's like such a mess. I'm like, oh no, I wish I just only really liked Italian Renaissance oil painting or something like, or like, I wish I was only a poet or some crap like that. But I'm like, no, I'm this weird hybrid thing that leaps at whatever is interesting. I'm like, yeah, I mean, in all of that, sometimes, yeah, we're all like that. You know what I mean? Like, and it's okay, but it's just, it's been confusing, but it's gotten a lot easier when I stop judging so much about, does this belong to a thing? Is this a real idea? Have I ever tried this? And just be like, everything is real. Figure out what to do with it later. You're just a person and you don't even know like where the sun is right now in the sky right now, right? How are you supposed to know about how the world is and what is allowed? And if your art is good, like, no, you like, it's just, it's ridiculous. We know much, much less than we actually understand. So it's just like, just follow yourself through that, I guess. So yeah, sound, that's why I started doing sound for the documentary is like, I really want to start flexing into that space about like, I want to be able to record stuff. Yeah, but I want it to be good. And I want to be able to, like, this is important work for other people too. So I want to be able to like do that for people if I can. So it was just such a great opportunity with this band. Because they're like, we're a band that like barely exists. You know what I mean? All intents and purposes, we're not a band or something, right? They might say that they're not a band. They know that they're a band because they feel it. That's just it. And they're like, no, of course, we're going to play these shows. We're going to do this practice and everything. And like, and then they just like open up the door to like a whole crew of people that just want to like sit by and watch and see what happens and just like figure out what to do with it later. I was like, yeah, this is exactly the people. The position for me and everything, like, it just like it felt exactly perfect. And everybody is just so cool to work with too, so it's been an absolute blast like figuring it out. I guess I don't have a really great answer for you. I'm just like, that's another thing where I'm like, that's it, sure, that's a really good way to figure out yes or no on this. And like, it's been a big yes from the universe. So much weird stuff has happened. I'm gonna be trying out for a band in like a week and a half. I'm like, why and how did that happen? Awesome. It's because like I started just showing up and doing this other weird stuff. I used to play in bands when I was like 19, 20. I did it for like a while. Mm-hmm. I got paid doing it. I did it. I was playing with these guys that were like 45, 50 years old. You know what I mean? Like clearly there was something there that was working, but like, and then I just like stopped playing music and I stopped playing with groups and stuff. So this is a good thing. You know what I mean? I'm like, I must be going in the right direction because like things are changing now. Stuff's happening. And like, I don't know how it'll go, but the fact that anything is occurring at all is a good sign, I think. So, yeah.
And I think that that's a great point too, because I feel the same way diving into some of the activities and hobbies that I'm into. Initially, it's like, oh, well, I don't know if I want to do this and blah, 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 and it's not going to come out good. You know, you start judging it before you actually do the work. But I think something that people need to realize is like when you're trying to create something, you don't have to share it with anybody. You could just do it for yourself. And one thing that I have gotten into the practice of doing now in my life, now that I've gotten up to this point, is documenting my journey into these new things. And so I've done like a few different classes, different activities. And even with the documentary, there are times where I'll just do like little vlogs and I'm like, hey, this is what I'm doing today. This is blah, blah, blah. And, you know, even with the podcast, I've done like a little mini vlog to be like, this is what happened at this recording and this is what I felt and blah, blah, blah. But this is ultimately like where it's leading to. And I definitely agree. When you start putting yourself out there, one, you're connecting with people who are also interested in doing something similar. They have an interest in that activity. And so again, that goes to show that there are other people in this world who have an interest in what you're interested in. And so we're never really alone. And it's just a matter of finding that community. And it's just, when you take that step, it's always going to be a little scary. You have no idea where it's going to lead. But if it's the right step, you can always try it out a few times. And then if it feels good, yeah, keep going. But if it doesn't, you can just stop and do something else and then just say, okay, what did I learn from that experience? Like, did I actually like doing this, or what didn't I like? You know, and you focus on that and then you can kind of dive further into that. And it's like, okay, you know, with sound, it's like, yeah, I really like producing all these different noises and this and that. And now you're going into a band. So could it have been that the different sounds and all of that will affect how you play or perform in the band? Because maybe those are elements of sound that you get to now introduce into your music versus, you know, if you hadn't explored all these other sounds or instruments, that could have been, you know, put to the side and you might not introduce that into your music and you might only focus on one type of sound, which I think a lot of people are just used to that. And as you were talking about sound, I was actually wondering if you've ever looked into the solfeggio, I think it is, frequencies. Mm-mm. There's these different frequencies that help heal you in different ways. It targets like different parts of you and can help with like grounding, or it can help with anxiety, or it can help with like connection to like your heart, or clarity. I haven't gotten into it yet, but the element of sound and healing is something that is also like popping up in this community, or I guess it hasn't been popping up, but it's been around for a while. Yeah. So I was not sure if that's something you've gotten into, or if that's something that maybe you can explore as well as you're making the mass, or if you're playing certain instruments to see if it affects you in some type of way.
That's the second time I've been recommended to look into that. So I think it's time to freaking figure it out. no, I don't know a lot about that. When I was in Asheville, North Carolina, doing this mask making workshop, I got to meet some really awesome people there who are now my mask making friends. I like never knew I had those, but yeah, I just got to show up first. somebody that was there, same thing, just kind of, I guess, caught the vibe that I might actually like sounds and instruments, because I brought all this shit to play with while I was there, right? Like, I brought all these little instruments, and I was like, anybody want to play this stuff, just go for it. And like, she just like sniffed me out immediately and was like, have you ever tried this like sound, like there's like sound meditation healing that somebody does here. And she was like, no, great, I would love to just buy your session, you should just do that, I just want to give you that as a gift. And I was like, whoa, I'm a little freaked out. You know what I mean? so like, ultimately I didn't find the time to do it. Why? I got in the way of it. You know, I don't know. I got scared. but another thing that brought me to is like, I have a synthesizer and I really like making new sounds, by playing around with all sorts of stuff. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not a sound engineer or anything, but I think that it's more pleasant to go into it as a total novice anyways. But it kind of concerns me because I'm like, I can be found making sounds with a synthesizer, right? Like late at night. I did that a couple days ago. And I'm like, I wonder what frequencies I'm making and like what it's doing.
Yeah. See if you can measure
Yeah, you're right. I'm going to start recording that stuff anyways because my partner, living in the same house now and hearing all the sounds is like, you should just give that to people that want to make sci-fi stuff, because like people want to hear it, you know, like that's a really good question. And I think that like I'm bound to come back to that because I've already had that like pang of like, oh, I think I saw like a meditation bell, if that's what people call those. I don't really know. Just one thing that you can strike mm-hmm. that will create a frequency that rings out for a while, right? Saw one of those on like Facebook Marketplace for $10 and I was like, yeah, I need that. Like ultimately I didn't get it. That place is such a nightmare to deal with. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. But but yeah, like that I mean, that was an idea that I had. I was like, that goes inside of a mask or on the outside of a mask, for sure. You know what I mean? Just like bringing sound into just another front or another face of this thing is just like so cool. I think what like really got me into this, I think it was early on when I was in school. There's this essay. Oh my God, I need to figure out the title and I'll send it to you later. I think it's something called like, oh my God, like the death of the beast or something like that. Or like, I'm going to try and I'll find it out for you. But it's this idea that like, I don't know, something can change out of being real or real enough to you in an instant, really, based on your expectations of it. Like if you get like a postcard for the Grand Canyon and you're like, you have this whole idea about what the Grand Canyon is, that's like what you're holding it up to. And then you get there and you're like, what the fuck? I'm not in a drone flying over this thing. It's not the same. You know what I mean? And it feels different.
It's not.
And there's like the death of this object that occurs in a person where what you thought it was is no longer what is there. So there's like, there's a dissonance and it's not necessarily a gap or an emptiness or anything. It is just like a different chord has been struck there. You know what I mean? But it was just so cool because in some of the context for that essay, there's this idea about like, well, what are our senses tell us? What do we gather about the world? Sight and light and everything gives us an idea of like a lot of different things, how good things are, how close they are, what color means, everything, shape. Sound being this really weird sense that we use in the world for a lot of different things, but in this essay, something that it focused on was understanding internal composition of an object, something that you get out of sound. And I was like, whoa, light bulb. Why does it sound different when a chicken makes a sound and a bear makes a sound? Internally, they are so different. Like externally too, but like think about like the poundage. Think about the resonant structure. Think about the cavity of which sound has to resonate inside of. Then you compare an elephant to a bear. How is that different, right? It's all the stuff where like hearing something express its composition is sound. That is something that we can gather and figure out three-dimensional structures of things, you know, without seeing it. I think that is incredible. That tying into sound design being painting with sound. You need to develop a base layer. You need to bring things in the foreground, midground, background, right? In order to make something a real habitable zone, you need to populate it. It's just like painting. If you only painted with three lines or four colors or whatever, right? Like it sets expectations and it changes the way that you receive something. So sound is one of those very alien things that like it can only really be experienced. It's frequencies when you come down to it, but like it tells you a lot, just like light and everything else. Super big tangent, whatever, but I love that.
No, it was good. I mean, yeah. And I love that because as you're talking about it, it reminded me of two things. One is when I've gone scuba diving, one of the things that they taught us was that sound travel, like you can hear
underwater,
yeah. Like it just, yeah, like that is super cool. And then another like tip/hack that I learned a while ago, which might not be a tip or hack for other people, but for me, like it is something that I use when I'm trying to focus on something. But visually, our eyes are able to gather so much data and information from our environment that sometimes we block out some of our other senses of like, what we feel or what we hear. So there are times where I'll go and I'll close my eyes and I'll just listen to certain things and I'm able to tune in to certain sounds much more clearly and more distinctly, either within my environment or within a song. I'm able to tune in to certain like instruments or the way the rhythm is going or how the beat changes or how certain elements are introduced. And so that's kind of how I like geek out into that. But for anybody who's interested in even just practicing, like listening, is just close your eyes and just sit somewhere and listen to all the different sounds and then try to identify it. Like if you hear something over there, it's like, okay, it sounds like one bird is over there, or maybe two birds are over there, or I can hear one person walking this way and they're wearing heels, or it sounds like something's over here. This is the random stuff that I do because I'm a nerd like that. I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna listen to stuff. But yeah, just closing your eyes and cutting out this huge like sensor that we have within us really helps to strengthen our other senses of like hearing and even just like feeling. It's like you can feel things in the air too at times. But you're just creating that sensitivity within yourself much more to your environment.
That sounds like it's a really good grounding activity too. One of those, I don't know even what you call it, but just like if you really need to kind of like recenter or whatever, you just like identify like five things that you can see, four things that you can hear, you know, feel, smell, taste, like you could just kind of go down. But it's like, look at all your senses. Yeah. Like you've got a lot to pick from actually. When you realize that you can hear at least four different things in the room at any given moment, one of them being your heartbeat, one of them being your eyelashes, you know, I'm like, that's crazy.
I know, you start listening to yourself.
And like, but like, yeah, it's such a grounding and also like really opening experience too. You can go into that. Yeah, that's neat. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love that. But one thing that I'd love to do before we wrap things up is, can you show us some of the masks? So whenever, you know, if I post this video, you'll see the masks. Otherwise, you know, we'll have a link and you can follow Lee.
You can follow me on Instagram. I put my masks there. Unfortunately, the last thing to go up onto this page, but it's because I have a hard time figuring out like how to get it and present it. But that's a me thing. You'll find out later. Instagram is at @backwards_eel. Just words all under. All lowercase. Just attached like that. My actual identity, personhood, whatever, like a name attached to it is at Lee with 3 underscores and then Michael. At Lee Michael for just people things, I guess. At backwards 1_eel for art. I post a lot of my drawings and stuff on there, but we can totally do some ass stuff. I have a couple that are in progress and a couple that are fully made. I guess first I'll show you this one that I referred to earlier, cause I think I talked about it. So this is a spiritual one
for me
for sure. I had a real experience figuring out what the mask was that I was going to be making. And then the process of making it is like, wild. But, so this is one, that I made in North Carolina. It's vaguely almost kind of like a vulture or something. Those are my hands that I kind of put over for the eyes. Making this spiritual process for me, I confronted a lot of grief with it. So Arulu Gallagher is the person that was leading it. And you could find her at like House of Arulu on Instagram. Incredible artist, educator, really, really just awesome person. Really, really awesome that she like put this thing together, but just kind of opened up her doors and was like, let's make this thing. I'll show you how to do it my way. So learned how to do mold with clay and then do paper mache casting over it. And this is kind of like, for me, definitely a mask that does work. It's like a grief eater. The grief eater, or like a bone collector or something like that. It's a lot of that kind of like childhood pain work that was necessary for me. I was not intending to do it when I got there. I get there, we do this guided meditation. Holy shit, I got slapped with this stuff. I'm not somebody who like is very public with my expression, but like yeah, no, this thing hit me so hard. Like, I broke down in there. And it was like so nice to be supported by people. Anyways, so that's like a really big one. Big one to me. This is another, I'm going somewhere completely different now. This is a mask that I made with for sort of a different project sort of thing. So this is it was molded from like the shape of a juniper tree that I found that was cut.
No, I was going to say, it looks
like
wood.
So this is like, it's an actual tree stump that I like traced out and created into a mask. All of the twigs are juniper twigs, and all of the garbage on it is garbage that I collected from the trail that it was like on. And the paint is mud that was from the riverbed that it was on. So this is like, this is just a juniper sort of spirit thing that like it is made and resembles a lot of like the exact tree that that was cut down. So it's kind of like the face of a tree almost. But I like this one a lot, and I worked on it for a while. And it's just one of those things where I'm like, don't know what to do with that.
You don't have to. It's like you created it and it's there. And it's just amazing all those little things that you found that were on
so
the trail.
Many cool so again, objects, like, you know, like so many cool things.
A lot of cool objects, but they don't belong in nature. So we got to clean up after ourselves.
Yeah, that was my, I was just spending a lot of time in the woods picking up garbage because I was like, damn, I got to do something. So I just did that and it was great. Here's another mask. This one I made out of a pumpkin. It's actually just a pumpkin, which I've like put some clay and paper mache on the inside of. I sort of put it together. And this is kind of like I call it a polybird mask because these are all feathers that I found in the same woods that I was picking up all the garbage from. And I put it together like this, and then I realized that I could have like, oh, look, there's like another little face there. There's eyes. These are all painted eyeballs, and there's another one. So it's kind of like when you put it on, it's kind of like you're like a little like living birdhouse, you know? I think about it as like a polybird because I imagine the creature that this is, these little ones eventually polyping off and turning into this big one that then blah, blah, blah. And you're just kind of like going through this like regenerative transformation sort of thing.
I mean, you can also look at it like just from a biological standpoint. It's like you have one cell and then eventually it divides.
I'm a biologist. Like, you could totally tell like with the eyeballs, there are close-ups on the Instagram. I like to do like almost like cell division of like this like diplopia, you know, or like multiple or like polyopia, like multiple pupils and that kind of stuff. Really cool. This is another this is another pumpkin one that is worn on like a half face. It just looks like a big sleepy eyelid. And this is stuff that it actually goes on. This is just like a big
eyelid. Okay,
like a really big sleepy person. Or whatever. This is one that I finished sort of recently that I really like a lot, and it was such a pain that I made out of my own face and corn husks. So this one, hold up, let's see.
Oh, that looks cool. It looks like feathers on my end.
They're really feathery, and that's like all, this is a corn that I ate through the summer, and I saved all the little husks and tried them out. Same thing, like I figured out, this is almost like a material exploration, but I figure out like, how do I cast my own face and then mold it into a structure that I can then adhere to things that will fit for me very well. So I like this one a lot. It's kind of like really neat one. I still don't know what it wants to do or anything.
So how long does it take you to do these masks, or like do they all kind of
I have a couple different ways of making them, and they all take different amounts of time. So and you let me know if we have the time to talk about this or not. But like this one molded out of clay, that takes a while. You need to make a clay mold. Once it's all good and everything, you have to do layers depending on the size. It could take a really, really long time. I think one layer on one surface of that big vulture mask was like maybe 2.5 hours to cover with strips of papier-mâché. and you need at least 4 layers in order for it to be really solid. And then you got to figure out where it's not solid and do more layers there. And then I did a layer on the inside. So it takes forever for some of that stuff. But other ones, like I'm going to show you 2 more. These ones come out almost fully formed within a week. And these are 2 that I'm working on right now, which are...
Oh, wow. Is that
this
also
is
clay?
A whole other thing that I do where I just use cardboard to do a little sculpture, and then I paper mache over that, and I do clay inside and on other surfaces and to make 3-dimensional features. And then I paper mache over it. These ones are really, really quick. They're really easy to make. And this is like, this is my like version of making stuff when I'm like, I just want to figure it out. I don't know what I want to do. And then I get to find out like, oh, it's one of these with like eyelids and like, it's, I don't even know what this is, but I like it, you know, like, yeah. So that's been fun. And then last thing, I'm sending this out to a friend that I'm a friend I'm trying to make right now over Instagram. I'm trying to connect with more mask making people. There are quite a few really, really successful artists that make masks on Instagram. Everybody loves them and they receive their intrigue very well. And like they have what's coming to them. You know what I mean? Like, good for them. I'm really interested in trying to connect with the people that are not quite there and don't even know why they're making masks. So this is a mask that I made that I'm going to send to somebody in Philadelphia, because I just asked if he wanted to do like a mask swap. I was like, hey, I like the mask that you make.
Cool.
I just made one. I'll send you one if you feel called to. Why don't you send one back, you know, like, and if you don't want to, it's cool, whatever. But made this one.
Oh, that looks cool. That reminds me of I'm so terrible with pop culture. Edward Scissorhands.
Edward Scissorhands. Yeah.
Whatever. That's not my thing.
But this one.
Oh, and also the wrestler. What was it? Raven?
Freaking. Yeah, also kind of looks like the Crow.
Crow.
Or like.
Whatever.
There's a
whatever
ton. So this
are.
Is this is my take on just corpse paint. I painted for the first time. I did corpse paint on myself because I went to a metal concert end of September. That was Behemoth, the band that I saw when I was like a youngin and just like ready to get absolutely destroyed by music, and also a mask that haunted me forever. Like, they were playing in San Antonio. So I went and I was like, I got to go all out, man. This is my thing. I haven't seen them play for like almost 15 years. So like, why not? And corpse paint. I'll send you a picture of it or something like that. But it was so cool. I was like, dude, Glenn Danzig from Misfits was headlining that show. And I was like, there's going to be other people there with face paint. No, there was not.
Really?
I was definitely... some sort of exception there where people were like, dude, nice, good work. And I was like, thanks, but like, where's everybody else? You know what I mean? I was like, 1 out of every 10 people are going to be in corpse paint. I was sorely disappointed, but no, it was cool.
Aww.
Such a liberating experience. People paint your faces more. It's so good. It's just so cool. I was raised, as a man, so like makeup was never really a thing that was like within my purview. Now that I have figured out more about who I am and the fact that like I don't know, we all just make this shit up as we go. I love painting my face. I love doing makeup. It's something I'm totally getting into the closer I get to like just like taking photos and stuff, so more stuff. But that is just a few, a little sampling of some of what's in store over here. I kind of always have stuff that is finished, almost finished, just starting, all over the place. I don't worry too much about it. I think that's just kind of the way that I make stuff, and that's okay.
Yeah. And I have somebody who I'm going to see if I can put you in contact with her, but she has experience with working on like movie makeup and who would do not just like plain makeup, but like, you know, monster makeup and all this really cool stuff. And so I don't know, I kind of see you falling into that where I'm just like, oh yeah, you know, with like sound and all of that, I can see like you doing like mass or I don't know, like sound and stuff or like music videos. Hey, maybe for a documentary or something, but like even for like movies and other projects and stuff, because those are the artistic elements that a lot of people don't think about. Like they'll watch movies and they're like, whoa, that looks so cool. Look at it. Like, look at this creature. They see the creature, but they don't realize that a lot of it has tons of makeup and paint and that there's so many layers and things to it that, yeah, it all stems from makeup and just putting things on and creating things out of the ether in a way, like things that are completely out of the norm. That's why these movies are so popular, because they are things that we don't see in our everyday lives. And so I think that's amazing that you're diving into that and you're exploring all those different interests. And then you are taking these visions from your mind and, you know, wherever else, the spirit world or whatever, and like applying it and bringing it into this physical world. Because again, this is where movies come from. This is where art comes from. This is where our imagination can go and be inspired to create something else and to think differently and perceive differently and to, yeah, sometimes evoke emotion. Like some people will look at that and they'll experience one thing and be like, oh, well, I feel this way towards it. But it's like, but why do you feel that way toward it? You know, what exactly about it is it that it's like piquing that emotion within you? So yeah, I think that's really cool. And I'm excited to see where things go with you.
And I love the sound of that too. Like I have been trying to get my way into designing sounds, creating sounds, sound effects and scoring and stuff for little like short films, student films, like anything really. I just like want to experiment. And the idea of creating monsters and stuff and whatever, like, 100%. Like if anybody likes that and you like the way that my voice sounds, get at me, please. I would love to do that. My doors are always open for that. I would really love to experiment with it. But yeah, that's like, thanks for saying that too. And thanks for putting such good words to it. Like, I think that, yeah, paramount to anything is like, you're a person, you have a really big idea about who you might be and what you might have to do and what the rules are for you in the world and everything, what the world is and what it wants from you or everything, right? But like, when something is coming to you, like, generally you can identify if it's real. And I mean, if it's yours or not. But what I mean by if it's real, if it's really coming from you or if it's just something else that's kind of blowing out sideways, but you can identify what's real and what's really you. And I think like allowing yourself to bring something into the world is like, that's these days, like what I'm trying to do and keep like first and foremost is like, if you're a person that creates things, you need to make sure that you're good to yourself, because there is a lot of work to be done through you, the vessel, the creator. You know, I do believe that there is like this stuff flies in from, we have no idea. Like, why do I make the creatures that I make when I don't understand what the mask I'm trying to make is? Like, I don't know. I really am just like, I'm seeing and I'm finishing it. And that's like, that's progress. You know what I mean? Just like people, remaining open, you know, but to remain open, you really have to take care. And you gotta know who you are first. So painful work, in store for a lot of people, but rewarding for sure.
It'll at times, I mean, even from my own personal stance, it's like, there are times where you feel like you're drowning, but the thing is, it's like, the more that you go through it, you're building up the muscles to swim through the waters better. And then you submerge and you feel like you can breathe. And there are going to be times where you're under the wave again and you feel like you're drowning, or, hey, you identify like, oh man, I'm underwater again. But you've already built up some resiliency and strength to kind of get you back up again. And over time, it's like you build up those muscles and then eventually you're swimming above the water and you're above the waves and you begin to ride the waves much more fluidly and things will come your way without you really trying. It's really amazing.
I put in a whole bunch of book recommendations and stuff into that form. which like we don't have to go into that, but stuff available for people that are interested in doing work like that, that just like this is the first time that you're hearing it, which it probably isn't, then there are some really good places to do some of that work, or at least start like thinking about it. The program that I'm in for CPTSD for recovery and stuff pulls a lot from a book called Homecoming by John Bradshaw. That's just like how to figure out like if you have any things that were not met when you were younger or at any stage of your development, this is a comprehensive way to go through chronologically and really sort of take account of where the things are missing. But further than that, like how do you become the champion for that? You know what I mean? Like not just how do I point out all the things that went wrong? How do I build myself into the person that's going to lead me and my kid into a beautiful future where we love our life, where we make things, where we're connected and we're happy. You know what I mean? Like you need to want to be a champion for that. And that's like, if you don't have the gumption, you don't have the strength, you can build that. And there are a lot of programs that can help that. The other one being The Artist Way by Julia Cameron, which is what got me into journaling.
Oh yeah.
That is another way to really sort of build that, like, hey, you have to see yourself every day and you have to do that. And it's really, really unruly at first. And it's always up and down, but you realize like we're always up and down. You're going to be in the pit.
Yeah, we are.
And then you're going to be on top of it. And then like, there's going to be the weirdest thing ever that happens, you know? And it's like, stuff is confusing a lot of the time, but yeah, those and all of those other books that I left on there included some that are just for fun. we should totally talk about any of this stuff again, anytime really.
Yeah, no, I'd love that. And so do you have any final tips or words of inspiration or anything else that you would love to share with our listeners?
Oh boy. I hadn't thought about that. I'll leave myself sort of a breadcrumb because even me participating in this recording is like for me a change because I'm like I'm doing it in a show for like eventually I will want to know where I've been and what I'm doing. This is an opportunity for me and thank you for the opportunity to just like leave a piece of myself behind that I can come back to again. And also it's just a conversation that you get to kind of re-enter, which is a beautiful thing. So my tip of the week or my tip from this vantage point of being Lee right now is people got to like document and record more of stuff that is real and that is happening in their lives. That does not mean post more pictures on Instagram about the date that you went on to the orchard. It means like make phone recordings or whatever. Sorry, I'm from Boston. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Like this time of year, people are crazy for that. Yeah. They want to take their babies.
Oh, yeah,
they want to put their baby in the apple bucket. You know, it's so cute. But I mean, like that is real, and that's so your family is beautiful and it's awesome. But I mean, like do some stuff. Like capture your weird shit that doesn't belong places. My partner Emery inspires me with that because like they started like carving an avocado pit that I dried out. I'm like, that's so fucking weird, I hate it, you know what I mean? But just like just go for it. And I'd say so more concisely, my advice for people is just like start getting evidence of really who you are, and I mean like account for the things that you have and that you make. Figure out who you are and you'll know exactly where you're supposed to go. But you need that evidence. Some people need more evidence than others. I know for one, I needed to write for like almost 2 years every single day. You know what I mean? Like it takes a freaking lot of work. Sometimes it's a lot of catching up, but it's so worth it. And share your stuff. That's all.
Well, thank you so much. I love our time together. And obviously, like we're still going to be working together on like a few different projects. So who knows, you'll probably end up coming back and being like, let's talk about this other thing.
I'd be happy
happening.
To. It's painful. it's painful to see that like, I'm like, oh, this is a podcast about ideas. And I'm like, we can talk about visual, audio, blah, 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 storytelling, anything. Yeah. So I'd be happy to be back. Thanks for sharing this time with me. This has been such a cool conversation.
Yeah, likewise. Oh, and I forgot to show you my sound tricks. Ready?
Now I can sound like this.
I don't even know what to do with that. Can you go the other way?
I don't know what to do with it either.
Or I could sound like this.
That is not... I need to ask you how to do that as soon as possible. I would be talking in my heroic villain fucking shit all day. Oh my God, sorry. cussing too much.
I couldn't take it off for a second, but what the?
That is so hilarious. Please show me how to do that.
So I appreciate
that. Yeah, please show me how to do that.
The fun stuff.
That's so funny. Oh my God. Thanks. Wow.
And that's a great way to end it, right? All right, Lee. Well, thank you so much. And thank you to everybody who has been listening. I really appreciate all of your time. I'm going to have all of Lee's information in the bio and website. So feel free to check that out. Follow him on Instagram. And yeah, make sure to keep an eye out on his projects, because again, I'm working on a few projects with him and it's really cool to see his evolution through all of these different activities. And we haven't even gotten into a bunch of the other activities he's into. So maybe for another episode in the future. But Lee, thank you again. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning it in. Yeah, I'm not editing it. Whatever. All right. Thanks, everybody.